It's bonus time here on the Gill Connections podcast. In an effort to increase communication, empathy, and understanding around the country, we're going to be running a new episode every day, interviewing a coach, a high school coach from every state, and yes, even you, Washington, D.C., with explaining how the state qualifying system works in their state. We'll be talking with a local state expert on how many classes, private versus public schools, what events, and what is the process? Is it areas, districts, regionals, state meet? Is it a descending order list? Are there fun things that you do a little differently? Like maybe you, I don't know, maybe you do double points for relays. Looking at you, Texas. And then we're also going to get to the bottom of, is it the state meet or do you qualify for states? So check us out every day here in April and May of 2024 as we run through each state with a local state expert. So let's get started right now. All right, we're back. We are rolling, continuing to roll through each of the 50 states, plus you, Washington, D.C. We ain't going to forget about you. And now we're up in one of my, it's cold, but it's one of my favorite states. I've had a lot of great athletes when I was a coach from this state, so I do have some fondness for the great state of Minnesota. Help me welcome from Alexandria Area High School, Miss Megan Orgeman. Megan, how are you today?
I am great. We've got a home football game today right after school, so it couldn't be a better day. It's a good day.
Awesome. I love it. And thank you so much for stepping up for the great state of Minnesota. You know, we've had amazing coaches step up and show their leadership throughout this series. And so just want to say thank you to you and grateful for you stepping up and kind of, you know, you're in the big seat. Everybody's going to be looking to you what happens here in Minnesota. So we're excited to learn about how you conduct the outdoor state meet. I guess my first question is, it's Minnesota. Do we have an outdoor state meet because of the weather and all
that? You know, our outdoor season probably starts in April. So you're not far off, but yes. We have an outdoor state meet.
That was a terrible joke. I worked really hard not to make any of those jokes when we had Alaska on here. So I love Minnesota, so I have to take a little stand there. So, okay, let's get into it here. Megan, you know, some states have a separate organizing body for private schools and a separate one for public schools. Most states we're learning actually have both of them together. How we do this in Minnesota, private and public schools?
We're all together. And in fact, so we have public and private together. We have three classes and they're intermixed across all three classes.
Perfect. Okay. Nice and easy. And you already kind of answered our next question. How many classes are there? Tell us, what do we call our classes? Class A, B, C, D1, D2, D3. What do we do?
Yeah. Minnesota has three classes. And actually one of my roles, I'm the president of the Coaches Association, and we just moved to three classes in 2022. So it's really fun to be part of that process. We were two classes and we recently moved to three classes. The largest class is AAA, middle class is AA, and the smallest class is A. And how we do that is the top 64 teams go into AAA, then the next 96 are in AA, and then the remaining are in A.
And you reminded me, shame on me, I've done this, you know, 20 something times already up to this point. But we had such a great conversation before we hit record. I think I just forgot. Please introduce yourself. When you said you're president of the association, I was like, oh yeah, everybody should know who we got representing Minnesota. Please take 30 seconds or so. Give us a 30,000 foot level introduction of yourself, Megan. Sorry for that.
Absolutely.
My fault.
Yeah. No, Megan Orgeman. I am a school counselor and the head girls track and field coach at Alexandria Area High School. I also coach the boys. We have our co-led program. Had a lot of success in Alexandria. We have won sections for the last 12 years in a row and won our conference championship for the last 9 years in a row. When we had two classes, we were one of the smallest classes. And in 2016, we won state. But all of that is just pebbles in a pond. I get to work with developing confidence in girls in the spring through the sport of track and field, and that's why I do it. I also am the current president of the Minnesota Coaches Association, and this is so relevant because not only did I help with our classes, but I got to help with revising our state standards just 2 weeks ago. And so I've been a part of a couple of really exciting projects, super grateful to be where I'm at. I'm at my dream school, my dream job, and I'm not going anywhere.
Pebbles in a pond. I'm stealing that one. I like that one. So thank you for that. Again, I'm so sorry. I just skipped right over that. So tell us, it's interesting. You said we're up to now three classes, AAA, AA, A. And that's interesting. You and I were talking about an athlete that I recruited in Minnesota years ago now. And I do remember it being two classes. How long ago did you go to three? And maybe what were some of the reasons?
Yeah. So in Minnesota, and actually in the nation, track and field has the largest participation numbers when we look at athletes. We were in two classes. We had met the high school league threshold to actually be close to four classes. But we thought, you know, that was something that we were passionate about pushing for. And so we did the data, we crunched the numbers and got the league to give us a vote yes for three classes in 2022. And so, you know, that's been a lot of growth. We changed from a 2-day state meet, we'll get to that later, but now to a 3-day state meet. And so I think that it's given kids way more opportunities to have that experience of competing at the best of the best at that state level.
That's great to know, because there are many states on both sides of that, right? So there are some states that only have one class or two classes, and maybe they're thinking about adding another. I mean, there's some school or states that maybe have four, five, or six, and they're thinking maybe they should attrition for a specific reason. So appreciate hearing the reasons there in Minnesota why we added up to a third one. Illinois recently went from a 2-class system to a 3-class system as well. And we know class is in session right now because of the...
I'm sorry about the bell. Yes. You might hear another series of 3 bells just to give you a warning.
Everybody's been at school at least some point. We all know what that bell meant. We got it. There's not an inpouring or outpouring of kids in your classroom right now. So that's the good point. Okay, let's talk about the state series. All throughout the country, we call the first round or second round many, many different things. Area, district, sectionals. You mentioned sectionals a minute ago in state. What's the first round that we have to get to the state meet in Minnesota?
That question could be answered in two ways. For AAA and AA, we call it, it's day one of the section meet or section prelims. Typically that's on like a Tuesday or Wednesday of that week. And then on a Friday or Saturday is day two or our section finals. Now, some of the smaller schools in single A will have a subsection meet. Well, the week prior, they'll have a qualifying meet to get the right teams and kids in place because their sections are huge. I mean, we have between 22 and 26 teams in each section for single A. And so a subsection really does narrow down the number of athletes at the prelim and final meets.
And you're calling this sections, not sectionals. Is that correct?
Sections. Yep.
Perfect. Thank you. How do I qualify for that meet, or what are the stipulations? Meaning, is it a free for all? If I have 7 milers that I think might be able to make the chance, the state meet, do I put 7 in or do I only have 2? What are we doing there?
Every team across all 3 classes gets 3 athletes per event. So you get to pick where you put your athletes and what athletes make it. There is no qualifying standard for the section meet. And so it really is up to that coach of where they're going to place their athletes.
So if I have 4 stud milers, one of them needs to find the 2-mile or the half mile or something like that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we have section prelims on, say, a Tuesday, or we have a subsectionals to start off with in our class A, and then we go to our section finals. What's the next round and how many are qualifying for that next round?
Yeah. So our prelim day, there are some events that are finals. And so, for example, for prelims, girls high jump is a final, while on the final day, so Saturday, let's say day 2, boys high jump goes. And so like on day 1, we've got girls high jump, boys pole vault, girls long jump, boys triple, boys shot, and girls discus. And those are final events on that day. We also have a really unique schedule on our prelim day for the most part, where relays aren't run. And so it is all prelims in open events. We start with the 100 meter hurdles. So it's kind of weird to not start with like a 4x8 or something. So we start with the hurdles, and our last event is a final, and that's the 3,200 meter. And so
Relay. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yep. So we end with the 3,200 meter on day 1. That is a final. The rest of the events are all prelims. And then on day 2, we have boys high jump is a final, girls pole vault, boys long jump, girls triple, girls shot, boys discus. And then our relays run. And we every relay event is a final. So there isn't a prelim and a final in the relays. It is what it is. We start with the 4x8. We end with the 4x4. And that's kind of how the meet is set up. I don't know if you want to, as far as qualifying for the state meet, I think that's coming up.
Yeah, because so after the sectionals, these prelims and finals, is the next round the actual state meet then?
Yes.
Yep. So where do I have to do in sectionals, place-wise or time-wise or whatnot, to get to the state meet then?
There are 2 ways to qualify in Minnesota. And this happens when any event is a final event. So if it's day 1, those field events of the 32 is a final event. Day 2, it's all relays and all the other events. So the top 2 advance, so top 2 relays, top 2 in individual events advance to state automatically. Mm-hmm. So if you are top 2, you are going on to state. State is going to be that next Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. The other way you can qualify is the athlete or the relay has to hit a standard, a state qualifying standard at the final. So it can't be done at a prelim. So it couldn't be done on day one of the 100, for example. It needs to be done on day two at the 100 meter final. So if they hit that standard and we have wind gauges and the whole shebang, then they can qualify also based on standard.
So you don't have time standards to get into the sectional, but correct. Once you come out of that sectional, there is a time standard or a distance or height standard to go to the state meet. So that's how, because one of the things that we're learning as we move through the series, a big concern is how do we make sure all the athletes who deserve to be at the state meet make it to the state meet, whether that's because they didn't make top two in this instance, things like that. Some people have a backup, if you will, and others don't. So you have a quote unquote backup that if you get third and you meet this standard, how is that standard calculated? Is that a average of something from the state meet over so many years or?
Yeah, I love this question because we just got it changed last week and it was a 2-year project from our advisory council. In the past, to qualify for the state meet, we took the 5-year average of fifth place from the state meet. What we found is that our standard was so rigorous that very few athletes were meeting that standard. For example, boys AA, we only had one athlete last year meet the standard in discus. So it is extremely rigorous. And so what you had mentioned about making sure the best athletes are in the state, we weren't convinced that the best athletes in the state were qualifying because our standard was so rigorous. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we took a deep dive into our history and we thought of like, why fifth place? Why was that determined? And when the Minnesota state meet was first created, we only placed 5 athletes. Now we've evolved to placing 9 athletes and the standards didn't evolve along with what we considered all state or what we placed. And so that was one of our arguments. We need to evolve along with that. We also followed swimming and diving and how they create their precedent in our state. So now what we got past is we are taking the 3-year average of the 9th place finish from prelims. The reason we chose prelims is those times are typically faster. They're more rigorous. They're a little bit tired on that day too. If you were to use finals, for example, let's say we have the 100 meter dash, because I've been using that event all day. Let's say a kid disqualifies, then we may not have a 9th place piece of data to use. In the prelims, we will have 9 pieces of data. And we want our standards to be rigorous. When we checked the data, it's not going to change the standards a tremendous amount. They are going to be rigorous, but we're hoping it'll at least allow the best of the best to be in our state meet.
That is a really good lesson, that little history of, there it is, we're back in school.
Yes.
The fifth place average of 5 years over the fifth place. Why? And that you look back in your history, it's like, oh, we used to only place 5. That's why. History is really important. We're a very traditional sport. However, we should be questioning everything in that sense of like, hey, well, is that right today in 2024 for what we're doing? I love that. And you do it from the prelims, not the state meet because of data, et cetera, there as well. That's interesting. Very cool.
Yeah.
You mentioned a 3-day state meet. So is the state meet for all these 3 classes? Are they always at the same venue? Are they all together? Do they do separate venues? And you said 3 days. So I'm going to suspect maybe we're doing them all together here.
Absolutely. We have always been at one venue. Right now we're at St. Michael Albertville High School. But this high school is not a normal high school. It has a college feel. It's a beautiful stadium. Prior to St. Michael Albertville, we were at Hamline University, which is in St. Paul. And they also had a great facility, but we really, really like St. Michael Albertville. And so we are there with all 3 classes. It is a 3-day meet, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We've been at Blaine. There's a sporting complex in Blaine, then Hamline, and now we're at St. Michael Albertville.
On that 3-day meet, do all 3 classes earn their team championship on the Saturday? I'm assuming it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do they all earn it on Saturday, or is like maybe Class A win their state title on Friday for the team title?
Yes. So how it's organized is single A. So the smallest class goes Thursday, Friday. Their prelims are Thursday afternoon. Their finals are Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. For AA, we're Friday, Saturday. And I say we because Alexandria is AA. We're in the morning session. So there's a morning and afternoon session for each class. So we have Friday morning is prelims, Saturday morning is finals. And then with AAA, our largest class, a lot of those schools are in the metro area already. So there's less travel time. So they go Thursday morning, Saturday afternoon. And so they have that day in between of rest where they can go home or do what they need to do. So they're the only one that's not a back-to-back day competition.
That's the other interesting thing we're finding too, is how the state meet with all the different classes that have a same venue. And do you do Thursday, Friday, Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Saturday? That's interesting as well. That's good information there. A lot of states, you know, one of the beautiful parts, many beautiful parts about track and field is the inclusivity, tall, short, big, tall, short, fast, slow. There's always some place for you to achieve some form of success in our sport. A lot of states have started adding some kind of adaptive or wheelchair racing to the state structure. Anything like that here in Minnesota?
Yeah. And actually that was another event that another thing that we got passed 2 weeks ago. So you're so relevant.
Man, that's awesome.
Yes. You're right on with Minnesota and our timing. We are working. We want to be one of the best in the state as far as events for wheelchair athletes. So currently we do have events. We have a 100 meter, a 1600, an 800, a 200. We have the discus and the shot put for wheelchair athletes. What we were missing, so the only open event that we didn't have in Minnesota was the 400. Mm-hmm. And so a couple weeks ago, we added the 400 to our list. As it stands right now, wheelchair athletes compete with their team on the days that their team competes. So mm-hmm. if there is the 100 meter on the track, they'll do the 100 meter followed by the wheelchair 100 meter.
You know, I hope one of the goals of this series that we're doing here is to create conversation. And I hope, because I know that not every state is doing this, but one of our hopes here is that people hear not only how many states are doing this, but how just in the flow it happens. It doesn't have to be this special. You don't have to, there are certainly logistics you have to concern yourself with, but it's a part of the experience. And I think for our young people and for our coaches, I think seeing this is really important. Yes. Sometimes you need to see things to know that you can achieve it. So I know there's other kids that will see this and be like, well, wait a minute, I never even thought that I could do track and field because of my abilities. And maybe I can do it. So I love that. Kudos to Minnesota. Kudos to Minnesota's coaches for adding that and continue on with that those events. That's great. I love that.
Yeah, we can't emphasize enough how easy it is. Like, it is really easy to add the events. Our vice president Eric Klein has a wheelchair athlete of his own, and so he's very passionate about this. And we would be a state to consult with if you are a state out there that'd like to add it.
Hey, that means there's no excuses if you're listening from another state and want to get this done. Let's make it happen. Love that. All right, so we've got three boys teams that are winning a state title, three girls teams that are winning a state team title in the A, AA, and AAA. Some states do this officially. Some states' coaches associations do this unofficially. They'll have a meet of champs where they invite the top of, you know, AAA, AA, single A, and we find out who the, quote, air quotes, the true state champion is. Do we do anything like that?
We don't have anything like that. The closest we have is called the Hamlin Elite Meet. That is in April, and it is an all-class meet. You have to submit your times and distances, and then it's this really dramatic process where the top whatever get released. There's a scratch period, and then it's announced who got in the meet. And that's really the only time that all the classes get to compete against each other.
Okay. Let's talk about your events. So instead of saying, hey, what unique events do? You don't know because they're not unique to you. You just do them here in the state series. Let's go kind of by group. So we can assume you're doing the 1, 2, the 4, and the 8, of course, right? Are we doing in the 1632, are we doing 1632, mile, 2 mile, 15, 3000? What do we do? What do we call there in that area?
Yep. 16 and 32.
All right, good. That's pretty common. It's one of the more common combinations there. For the hurdles, we're doing the girls 100 high hurdles and the boys 110 high hurdles.
Yep.
300 hurdles for both boys and girls.
Yep.
All right. 4x1 and 4x4 for sure, because I'm going to say this everyone, because if you're not doing those two events, you're not really doing track and field. So, of course, you're doing those two. I think I heard you say 4x8.
Yep. We have the four by two.
All right. Yes. Any other sprint medleys, hurdle shuttle, hurdle relays, any other relay events?
Not at our state meet.
Okay, perfect. Let's go to our field events. We're doing the long jump and triple jump.
Yep.
Perfect. Shot put, discus.
Yep.
Pole vault and high jump.
Yep.
Any javelin, hammer throw, anything else that I'm missing there?
No, javelin is something we're pushing and working towards, hopefully, but we're not there yet.
All right. Only about half of us are at this point. We're about 25, 26. So would love to add Minnesota to that. Iowa just added, Florida just added, South Carolina. So, boy, at a great state like Minnesota is for track and field, there's no, I hate to say there's no excuses, but there's no excuses to add javelin. Love to hear that. How about after the state meet, some states will do typically unofficially, either it's your coaches association or just a passionate coach and program, does like an unofficial state meet for the HEP and the DEC or the JAV or the hammer, anything like that?
We have USATF meets where our kids will jump into summer meets and do it, but nothing official in the state of Minnesota. I personally was a heptathlete. I was a multi-eventer in college, so I would also love for that to be a Minnesota tradition too.
Let this be the catalyst for you to start that then.
Yes.
It starts with one person. My home state of Alabama does it. So I always put that as a challenge of like, and has done it for a long time. So I put that challenge out there. Awesome. Thank you so much for that. That's great. Let's settle a little bit of an argument, a little bit of a debate here, Megan, at least inside of your culture, your area, around the country. We talk about, we're trying to qualify for the state meet, or we're trying to qualify for states or just state. How do you say it? What are we saying here?
We qualify for state, and I went around today and asked as many track kids as I could possibly find, and they just looked confused when I said, is it qualify for the state meet? It is 100% in Minnesota or Alexander, Minnesota, you qualify for state.
State, not states.
Just state, a singular. You qualify for state.
That's another thing I'm hopeful someone listens to all 51 of these and keeps a tally. I'm not keeping tally. Some data scientist coach is going to have to do this. I want to know the actual tally because it's fairly close amongst the three there. Okay, Megan, one more thing that we just absolutely have to talk about here, and this is extremely unique. We have not heard this up until today with the M's here in Minnesota. Minnesota has a, I don't even know if I'm saying the name of it right, true team state championship. So we kind of have two state championships in Minnesota. Talk to us about this, because this is extremely unique.
Yeah, we're really proud of our true team tradition in Minnesota. True team was originated in 1987, just a brief little history note, by coaches. So our coaches created it. And it really was, we wanted to answer that there's a need in track and field to have a true team competition where every athlete contributed to the team score. And so, and the reality is that a high school league state meet, you might win state by two or three athletes. Alexandria, we won state in 2016 with five athletes. We've been a runner up with two athletes. And so when we have a team of say 80 girls, not everybody gets a shot at contributing to that team score like they might on a basketball team or a football team. So True Team was established to recognize more athletes, have every athlete contribute to that team score. And we have a section, True Team Meet, and to qualify for state, the entire team qualifies as a team to state. So like for a high school league championship, you might have, 15 athletes that go from your team. This is the whole team going to a state championship meet together. So a lot of teams structure their team culture around True Team. It's a really big thing in Minnesota. And really what's great about it is, a lot of times, in a traditional meet, the top eight score. And so we're really trying to get our top athlete where they need to be to get team scores. But here, because every athlete score, oftentimes a true team section meet and a true team state meet is decided by our number three, our two or three athletes, so not our best athlete. So we really do, it really does bring up the intensity of practice and culture for every athlete on the team. Everybody is fighting for that true team spot in the lineup. And it just creates a really beautiful team culture. So it's totally changed cultures in the state of Minnesota.
So I hear you saying, we could have five athletes. Heck, I've heard of, one athlete winning a state team title, depending on, obviously the size of the class and things like that. So tell us, what's the difference? We all kind of, we're listening to this because we understand what a traditional state championship is, eight places, 10 points for the first one, for the eighth, et cetera. Tell us, what is the difference here? What's the different structure?
So just like Minnesota High School League State Track and Field, we have three classes. So in True Team, we have three classes. We have A, AA, and AAA. For AA and single A, so the smaller divisions, every team gets two entries and then one relay. And in AAA, every team gets three entries and one relay. And so let's take AAA as an example. In my section, section 8 AAA, there are nine teams. So we have nine teams. We have three athletes per event. So first place will get 27 points, nine times three. So the first place athlete in an individual event gets 27 points. Second place will get 26. Third will get 25, all the way down to the last athlete, which gets 1 point. So everybody scores. The goal is to have every athlete finish in the top third to try to win. You want to try to push those people to, and it, what the intensity of the meet is unlike anything, because as you're racing or competing, you know that if you pass one athlete at the finish line, you get one more point for your team. So finishes at these meets are truly inspirational, and it might be a finish between the 20th and 19th athlete. Like, it doesn't have to be the top eight. So you see people do exceptional things across all levels, from your number three athlete to your number one athlete. So that's one big difference. Another thing that's really big is the pressure, especially in the vertical jumps or the horizontal jumps, to not know height and not follow all three jumps. Because if you know height, you get 0 points. You don't get 1 point, you get nothing. And so that creates, so the bars in like the vertical jumps typically start lower than a normal meet. They increase by smaller increments, which can be a part of your strategic plan. So that's another piece that just, like I talked about the intensity of these true team meets, that really brings up the intensity. Everybody scores. You could get a goose egg if you know height. And then in relays, it's a little bit different. So with a nine team relay, you get 4 teams or 4 points. There's our bell.
There's our bell.
With the relays, the top team gets 36 points. Then it goes to 36, and then it goes down 4 points all the way until the last place team getting 4 points. So relays are worth more points, but if you divide that by four athletes, they're not worth as many points. So we have coaches all over the place crunching numbers and figuring out, where do we load the relays? Do we load the individual events? Where's our team's best shot? Which is similar to, I would say, a regular meet, but it's just a little bit different when every single athlete matters. You got to spread them out a little bit.
This is interesting because, you know, I like how the USTF CCCA, I'm going to say recently, it's probably 5-6 years ago, started doing, I can't remember if they take 3 or 4 athletes from each team, and they rank the top shot put team. So, you know, if you have 4 shot putters, you could, you know, that are all 50 foot plus, that team might be number 1 and, you know, number 2 team, et cetera, for shot put disc. They do it for every event. This reminds me of that, of like that kid who was the 4th place kid, shot putter, or 3rd place in this instance, shot putter in your team. Isn't going to qualify for the traditional state meet, but this is a way that they certainly can contribute to the team and to the team title. That's really interesting.
It's really fun. It really does make that type of athlete feel important to the team on a larger level.
Did you say, where in the season, does this happen after the traditional state meet, before? Where's this happen at?
It is before. So third week of May is we'll have our section meet. And then the next week we'll have our state meet on a Friday, Saturday. So it's a 2-day state meet for our true team state meet. It's been at Stillwater High School traditionally. And it is just as packed with spectators as our state meet. So it is there's a huge following. And again, you have that team atmosphere. We have kids that get to go to state, true team state, that will never get to the league state. So they get that state feel just as grand, even if they're not an individual qualifier.
And it's a state championship meet, meaning does the state championship team typically go and get rings or patches or whatever they might normally do?
So they will. There's actually ribbons. 12 teams. This is another interesting piece. So as far as advancing to state, the top team advances automatically. So if you win your section, you advance to state as a team. Then we have a wild card tradition. So the next 2 through 5, so teams that play 2nd through 5th, get put into a virtual meet, and then the next 4 also get to go in on the wild card. So we have 12 total teams. There's 8 sections, 4 wild cards. So 8 championship teams, 4 wild cards, 12 teams total at the state meet. And it's really fun when you see a wild card team come in and win state, because they didn't get in traditionally, but they rally and they come through. So the wild card is a whole nother level that's really fun. So 12 teams total from that.
Is there a way to make this work on the NCAA level? I mean, this is really interesting. I mean, this is team depth. This seems to reward coaching even more. I mean, it's one thing, and it's hard, and it's amazing to coach 1, 2, 3 athletes to, you know, win the 100, 200, 400, 800 and win a state title or an NCAA title that way. That's hard. I'm not knocking that. But coaching is about the depth. How do you make the fifth play? This reminds me a lot of cross country, which is a very team-oriented sport, right? I love your example of, you know, the 20th person. If you could pass just one person in that 2 mile and make it 19th, that might be the whole difference in the whole meet. I love that. Yes. Could you see this? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here on this one. Could this work on an NCAA level?
I would love to see this at every high school in the United States and at the collegiate level. I think it, and just to, I mean, you could place it wherever you want in your season, but it really does boost the morale of the team and the intensity of training. And so I think it'd be a great meet to have before championship meets. Get people ready to rock and roll, sharpen your sword, show them that everybody's cheering for them. It really, that momentum piece is really fun to see.
Could this be the championship? I'll put Minnesota on the spot. Would Minnesota ever consider dropping the, I'm doing air quotes, traditional state meet and the true team state meet is the state meet?
I don't think we'll ever drop it because they're so different. You know, we have our league state meet. So to really recognize those elite top athletes in the state. And I don't want that to go away either. We have some really phenomenal athletes that come out of Minnesota and they get their spot too. I just love that we have both. You know, in my mind, it wouldn't be an and, or it wouldn't be an or, it's an and. Yeah, so one other, like a couple other cool things. An example with, for like the point system. This is another thing that just helps paint the picture. So because there's so many points, I'll use our team last year. So Alexandria girls team won with 950 points. So imagine a track meet where you can score 950 points. The second place team, Brainerd, scored 942.5 points. So 7.5 point difference, which is nothing. It does come down to that 19th athlete, you know, passing the 20th, or, you know, how we talked about before. It really does come down to the small moments. And what's really fun is it, like a basketball game where you can make changes on the fly, we don't declare entries before for a true team meet. So what happens is there's a random draw with heat and lane and flight assignments in the order within the flight, just based on team. So we'll get a heat and lane assignment program that has no names on it. It just has teams. And so coaches will pencil in the names of the kids and have a second alternate, a third alternate, a fourth alternate ready to rock and roll just in case your high jumper gets stuck in high jump. Or maybe you notice that, oh my gosh, Brainerd, they have three, you know, stud athletes checking in. Maybe we should put in our more studly athlete in there. So you can really be strategic and play that game live. You can move kids around to different events, different heats and lanes at any given time. I'll decide what flight a long jumper is in based on what track events they do. And so if they have the 100 and the 4x2 and it's early in the meet, I'm going to put them in a later flight for long jump. So even though the later flight might not be the top flight or the appropriate flight with them, I get to put it them wherever it fits within the entries that they have. So there's so much strategic gamesmanship, I would say, on the coach's end, which makes it really fun. So that's a whole nother layer to true team.
I do really love that part. You know, we talk about strategy with basketball and football coaches and what plays they call and things like that, and based off of the defense, et cetera, et cetera. I really love that for track and field. That's a very cool aspect.
And you use the live scoring because every true team meet has to have live scoring to make those decisions all the way up until the 4x4. Like with us, with being so close to Brainerd, they were ahead of us going to the 4x4. We knew we had to win it. We hoped that they would get third. And so we put in every single athlete that had an event left that was our studliest athlete, and that's how we won it. So it's so intense and exciting. It's a lot of fun to watch.
So great. Okay, Megan, you've done an amazing job. Really grateful helping us understand the Minnesota Outdoor State Meet. So you win the prize, you get the magic wand, and that magic wand allows you to change anything that your heart desires to make the state meet, the state series, the outdoor track and field season better, in your opinion. What might that be if you had this magic wand?
I would not change our state standards, qualifying standards. I love the hype of a section meet where you have to be sharp and hit a certain time or a distance at that meet. So I would not change our qualifying standards. I would love to add the multis like we talked about before. Another thing I'd love to do is have a way where our wheelchair athletes can compete against each other. Because there aren't a tremendous amount of wheelchair athletes right now, you might have just one athlete in a class in an event, and they may be the best in the world, which we have, but they would get like a pity clap or get a clap like they aren't superior athletes because it's just them. And so I think one other state might have more of a unified meet where all of the wheelchair athletes can compete against each other. I think that would be really cool, at least until the sport grows even more. So something along those lines, I think, could make our state meet even more exciting.
I love it. That's a really good one. You've earned that magic wand. Megan, thank you so much. You know, really do appreciate all of our coaches that are stepping up to represent each one of our states. It's not an easy job. You do homework when you have this little bonus material. So you have to come correct and know what's going on in your state. And everybody's going to be listening. Everybody wants to know what's the other state doing. So really grateful for everybody who is stepping up, and grateful for you, Megan, stepping up today for the great state of Minnesota. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for including me. And I can't wait to listen.